Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be or whenever you may be listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show. My name is Jason Dias, and we are broadcasting live from the offices of AdTracts.org and EloquentOnline.net in the beautiful city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and north to the east of me, our co-host, our partner in crime, he is Troy Hall. He is the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Hey, Troy, how are you this morning?
I am doing wonderful, and I just want to let you know that I am sleeping much better knowing that Bernanke thinks that there should be a concern about small debit card issuers with this Durbin Amendment. I'm feeling much better now.
They never tend to let us down, do they, those guys over in the nation's capital. Our 7th and 8th graders from my son's small private Lutheran school here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, are heading out to the nation's capital tomorrow for their, you know, every 2 years they take the 7th and 8th graders out to Washington, D.C., and I am going to ask y'all to be in prayer for them as they make this long journey up to the nation's capital, but maybe they'll get to run into Mr. Bernanke and see what else he can share with us in terms of information.
Well, yeah, it's sort of like we're training up a young group of crashers now, aren't we?
Well, we'll see what happens when they get up there. Hey, listen, speaking of Washington, D.C. and our nation's capital, if you remember 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we did the show where we had the royal wedding that happened the morning of the show, right? Was that two Fridays ago?
It was several Fridays ago, yes. I've lost track of it. I'm still in the honeymoon phase. I have lost track.
We're still in the honeymoon phase. Well, that whole, as you know, as a student of American history, events like that got me thinking about the long history that we have with England. And so I went back and just started looking at some old textbooks and articles and stuff like that, and I came across a pamphlet that a lot of people are familiar with. It's called Common Sense by Thomas Paine. And, you know, everybody kind of knows the opening lines, these are the times that try men's souls and stuff like that. But as I was reading it, I was thinking about what you and I do on the show and all the discussions we've had this year about social media and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, wouldn't this be maybe something that we could consider the first ever really successful viral marketing campaign in American history? It's a pamphlet. It's sort of the 1775, 1776 version of social media. It's not really the newspaper. It's not, the town crier. It's kind of that secondary media. It gets printed in mass quantities, considering it was a time when not everybody read. And it goes on to be one of the best-selling, if you call it a book or a pamphlet, one of the best-selling ever in American history. And what I thought was interesting, Troy, is that it really summed up the revolutionary cause, but it did it by avoiding kind of the flamboyant language that a lot of people used during the Enlightenment, and spoke to people in very everyday terms. And so I thought that's a great example of viral marketing that still can be applied today. If you're out there doing something that you hope does go viral, is it going to resonate with people? Because that's how it's going to go viral after all.
Well, yeah, I guess we'd have to almost call it parchment marketing instead of viral marketing, since it's on print, right?
Yeah, I guess parchment or paper, whatever they use. I don't know. It's been something that has fascinated me as somebody who has often combined the worlds of marketing and history and stuff like that. So I like how in the past couple of weeks you've brought some very unique information to the table. And so I wanted to bring some, revolutionary era American history to the show and share it with our audience. Now, last week, if you recall, we ended the show. Welcome, everyone, to Radio Free Federal Credit Union. Troy and I decided we wanted to spend a couple of weeks exploring the credit union marketplace from the perspective of an actual credit union, even though it's not an actual credit union, but Troy does work at an actual credit union. And so we came up with the concept of Radio Free Federal Credit Union. And what were some of the questions that you and I, maybe I'm a consultant, you're the COO or the CEO of the credit union, we're going to go into the board meeting or the boardroom and talk about the future of the credit union. What are some of the issues we're going to have to tackle? And I thought, you know, Jason and Tough Talk and Troy can handle this. And so we ended the show last week by saying, Troy, do we take the words credit union out of our brand? And so I wanted to share my thoughts with you on that and then take our break and have us come back and you give us the counterpoint because we don't have the same view on this. Does that sound okay with you?
Oh, it sounds great. I love the point-counterpoint idea. And so, and the other thing, you know, we need to make sure everyone understands is that, you know, in this point-counterpoint process, we are not necessarily attaching viewpoints to us individually as people, but just to the common thinking that may go around a point-counterpoint idea. And I just think that's important that we set that up as we go further.
Right, because the truth of the matter is, even though Troy and I have very, very different occupations and we have a couple of years in between us, we don't always find a lot of stuff to disagree on. But here's my point on the whole credit union thing. And the thing that got me thinking about this is we're writing a song for a big credit union out in the American West. And I kiddingly said to them when we first started working on it, the only tricky part, since I do the lyrical part of the music, I said it's going to be finding a word that rhymes with union. And the marketing person was saying to me, well, you know what? Hold on a second. I think we heard somewhere in a memo or something that we're not going to worry about that. We're not going to use that in our marketing anymore. We're going to take the credit union out and just go with our name. And it's really got me thinking that I believe it's very possible that the credit union marketplace as an industry, as a marketplace, and for those of you people out there that still use the term as a movement, has spent a lot of time trying to convince people that they're not a bank, that they're a credit union. And then people will say, well, what's a credit union? And so we go into explaining what a credit union is. I loved your point last week, Troy, about the Swiffer test. Tell people how it works. Just tell people that internet banking is safe. Just tell people that they can apply for a car online and get the funding right away. To me, the words credit and union, especially here in Texas, are two words that it's sort of like when they say you're doing a speech, you should never say but. I'm so happy to be here today, but the flight got delayed last week or last night or whatever. I think credit and union are two words that serve to confuse people about what a credit union is. I can't promise y'all it's scientific. I can't tell you exactly how many people have said it, but many of the young people that we've encountered over the years doing our concerts and all of our intentional engagement of Generation Next has been, they thought credit union, they thought the credit part of that had to do with credit history and credit cards, and all they've heard for their whole lives is that credit is bad, you got to watch out for credit. And of course, union in Texas is not a popular word. This is a very conservative state. We're not the only one, and that's just one of those words that I think sets people off one way or another, and why would you ever put that in your brand? I personally am in favor of taking out the name Credit Union from the Radio Free Federal Credit Union and going with maybe just Radio Free Federal. And I want to hear Troy's point right after this. All right,
Jason,
you were back on the written. Say that again?
Oh, I was going to do the intro right after since I thought that I was on.
Well, you're on.
Well, we're back with Radio Free Credit Union, and so it's my turn to tell you some of the reasons why keeping the word credit union into your name and into your branding material makes sense. So there's a couple of things that we'll keep in mind. You know, we provide a lot of generational information, and we know that sometimes the generation doesn't care. So we may have a large reason why you would want to take it out because, well, people don't care or people are confused. But it is part of a process that actually allows you to identify yourself and allows you to start and maintain the conversation of distinction. So what the words credit union does in your name is it actually creates itself as an identifier. And for me, I think it it has an opportunity that shows it starts to be able to say, well, maybe there is a difference for those who want to focus on the difference. Now, I've said before, I'll say it again. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time explaining the difference. We just need to be engaged in the difference, and people will figure some of that out for themselves. However, I found that those folks, that using the word credit union with those folks who might be confused is another great way to talk about the credit union, to talk about the product that we are, to talk about the delivery of the products and services that we are. And so it really can serve to be a great use in that. The other thing it also does is it respects tradition and respects the whole process from when we began in the early 30s and what we were all about. So there's a symbolic reason to possibly incorporate credit union within the brand. So I kind of stand on those as maybe some of the reasons for the word credit union in the brand and how you would actually use it. Now, if your marketing materials have to take it to the nth degree and doing a whole lot of explanation, then maybe you might want to rethink that portion of it. But I think there is a place for the words credit union in the branding element and in your marketing materials and what you do.
All right. Well, I get all of that. And I'll tell you this. I think the majority of credit union professionals would agree with you more than they would agree with me. I think probably going forward the next 5 or 10 years, and this is just my opinion, I think most credit unions will leave it in their name, but I do believe the bigger and the more forward-thinking credit unions may think to go with something else. Because what you just said, and again going back to the Swiffer test, I honestly do not believe that there are succeeding generations that care one bit about the difference. I believe that one of the things when you and I go into this sort of mock exercise of making decisions for this fictional credit union, even though I think the questions that we're presenting are very, very real, I believe that what we're going to find is we're trying to, you know, you're trying to lay out a future for South Carolina Federal Credit Union in 2022, in 2023. And I honestly do think a lot of the interaction between the members and your brand is going to occur on a tablet device. It's going to occur at a kiosk at the mall. And people aren't going to take a moment to think about, oh, when did the credit union start? Back in 1930? I'm serious. I don't think anybody's going to care.
And actually, I don't disagree with you. Remember, the whole point of this was to do a point counterpoint.
Well, yeah, I know. And that's what I mean. And that's what's so tough about it. And of course, and for the people that are listening, you know, those of you that go into strategic planning and annual meetings, your strategic planning and the decisions you make for the credit union, it's not a point counterpoint. It's not an editorial. You have to come to a consensus with the people that are on your board, with the people on your management team. And I do believe that, you know, the exercise of getting there is still very, very necessary. I just wonder, Troy, if as many people see things the way you and I have kind of talked about them in the past, that what we're really doing now is laying the foundation for the banking marketplace that has absolutely nothing in common with the banking marketplace that you and I both got started in.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing about it is this, you know, so now I'll go on to my, now that we're done with the point counterpoint, I can just chat a little bit more about it. You know, for me, I am more inclined to really look at removing the name credit union. And I really think that it is more in line with what we really and truly need to do. The arguments that I posed for you is because I knew about this ahead of time, and I back to what were the arguments that we have provided, because there are still a number of folks within our own organization itself, in our group of probably our board more so than anyone else, who has this an affinity or this attachment to the words credit union. You know, and I guess that for myself, it's like even the word federal in our name is sometimes confusing because people think that we're part of the federal government.
Yep.
And they don't necessarily distinct, and especially in South Carolina, here in Charleston, where we have a large military and government sort of exposure, it doesn't hurt us, but it does get it is confusing in the marketplace. And so for me, I'm about simplifying any message, simplifying any word that you use. Don't have to use the word converse when you should use the word talk. or use the word chat. I mean, you know, so it's really picking very simple words and very simple communication. For me, it's all about the actions that you do. You want people to select who you are because they identify with your entity because of what you do. Now, if you use the word credit union and you are successful in your entity making it show up as a difference, and then people can choose you, they're choosing you not because of the words credit union in your name. They are choosing you because your brand is representative of something that they can align to. And that's really how we have to think about it. Because if we don't, we are truly going to miss the boat. If we stick our heels in the sand on this topic and on this issue, we will spend so much time defining it for a culture who doesn't care what it's called. But they do care about what you do.
Well, and that again, for the people listening, the point counterpoint sometimes has to be arranged. But even though that may not have been how you would have answered that question as the professional Troy working for South Carolina, I do believe you articulated what a lot of people would say about why we need to leave it in. And then you went a step further just now, and you said maybe the majority of those people would be on the board of many credit unions. I think that, too, would accurately describe most credit unions all over the country. Do you think we're still going to have kind of this generational chasm or some of these generational obstacles as credit unions for the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, you know, I have a saying which hopefully will come across even on radio funny, is that the good news is that in every 100 years, it's all new people. So, with that being said, that I can't really tell you if it's 5 years or 10 years, but I will tell you that as credit union boards mature and to the point where their individuals that are replacing them are from this generation that we've been speaking about, then we will start to be introducing that mindset into the decisions and the strategic alignments of the organizations. So until those folks can infuse that sort of thought process into it, we're still somewhat guarded in what we're actually able to do and accomplish, because unless we're going to be a complete renegade about the whole thing. So, and I don't see that necessarily happening. But, you know, I think that in the next 10 or 15 years, yeah, there will be a transition and a movement. I can tell you that personally from our group that we work with here, that in the next 10 or 15 years, it will be new people. So, how that works.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, when we come back from the break, Troy and I are going to go back into the boardroom of Radio Free Federal Credit Union and see what we can do to make sure that our brand is still a viable brand for banking consumers all over the country, whether it's 2011, 2018, 2025, because nobody goes into strategic planning or annual meeting and says, okay, we're going to plan our demise in the next, you know, 2 days or so. So we'll be right back after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Federal Credit Union, the Radio Free Credit Union show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter.
All right, we're back in the boardroom. We've had our coffee break, Troy. We need to make a decision about something, and that is this. Do we stop all print advertising as of this year?
No.
Tell me why.
Well, because first of all, you use the word all. And so just from a standpoint of inclusiveness, a good, robust marketing plan includes a number of resources for your media and for your contacts and for all that you do. You cannot just rely completely on social or viral aspect in order to promote or to provide interest in your products and services. Now, what you have to do, though, is be smart about the print and the radio advertising.
Yep. I'm going to tell you, I completely agree with you. When I first put that, and I'll tell you a true story. You know, I worked for a credit union last year.
Yes.
Two years ago, we made a decision. We're going to stop all newspaper advertising. We thought we're just going to stop doing it. Well, then, of course, we get a phone call. The high school, we want to put a spot about prom, and would you sponsor it? because you've always done it. Oh, yeah, okay, I guess that we could do. And what ended up happening is we kept finding reasons to place print media in the paper. I'm with you on that. Whether it's print and radio, I do believe those things have a shelf life that is not in the next 2 or 3 years, but I think, you know, from a strategic vantage, the next 5 to 7 years will be very, very viable. And it's another question I wrote down, Troy, this week as I was getting ready for this show. I'm not saying you know for sure, but at South Carolina Federal Credit Union this week, let's just say you had $10,000 in new money come into the credit union. In your opinion, where would you say the majority of that money came from?
Well, I mean, when you say $10,000 comes in, you mean like from the members bringing it into us?
Yeah, like a new CD or a new car loan or something like that. Because my point is, my guess is, if you did have $10,000 in new money this week at South Carolina Federal Credit Union, it might have been because of an ad in the newspaper about car loans, or it might have been because of some of the more traditional things that you guys do. I don't know that anybody can say they brought in $10,000 of new money at their credit union this week on Facebook or Twitter.
No, not necessarily on any of that, because, again, that, and I think we've talked about this a number of times, that the media, you know, those media purchases or that social media aspect is not garnered for actually the development of products and services. It's more about the relationship. But what I guess the one thing I wanted to mention to you about the radio, print, and advertising before we leave that topic is some things that we have to consider, though, is are we creating a brand awareness? So do we have a brand awareness issue that we need to be involved or responsible or social responsibility towards something that's happening, a social responsibility in that realm of corporate social responsibility, not social media? So do we need to participate with some community activity, and therefore the print media, like you had suggested before for the school, was a, you know, was an idea that's part of a tactic and a technique that you can use? We have to make sure that you know why you're using the print and why you're using radio. And in both of those cases, you really should be segmenting and targeting the audience specifically because you believe that the demographic group that you are reaching is going to then reach back out to the credit union. I doubt seriously that today radio or television or even the print newspaper moves as much product as people want to give it credit for. I doubt seriously that unless you are giving away your interest on your CDs or you are offering some ridiculous loan volume where you are loan amount so you can drive volume, most of that is probably just it's just more general awareness. If you really want to get your bang for your buck, what we should be doing is spending our money on targeted marketing and targeting emailing, because I bet that $10,000 came from an existing member or an existing contact that we made on a face-to-face or in a relationship mode.
And this is exactly what I was trying to get to. It's kind of weird for me as somebody who thinks, oh, I'm sort of this forward-thinking guy that goes out and talks about all the new and coolest stuff going on in the credit union marketplace. As I'm getting ready for the big Marketing Association of Credit Unions show in June in San Francisco, one of the things I'm going to say is that it may seem like an odd time to do it, but to me now is the absolute best time to go back and make sure that your face-to-face, your mouth-to-ear communications in your call center, your speaker-to-car window conversations going in your drive-up are absolutely 100% over-the-top customer service focused. And in an age of social media and social networks and this new social landscape that we have in the banking industry, I'm a little fascinated that I think there's probably a place now to go back and visit some of those very, I guess what you and I would call back to basics of customer service or member service.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. We should never, ever forget how important that treatment of other people, that concept is in the relationship of dealing with folks. But you also have to add into that a sophisticated sales strategies into the process, because just being nice to a person is really good, but you're not going to garner business if you have if you haven't sprinkled in the I have to pay attention to what the person says. I mean, I was just reading in the CU Times. I was so excited about our friend Sarah Says because she was talking about what you were just mentioning.
I know.
And so she was saying about, you know, going back to the very basics. And the part that I would add to that would be add into those member service perspectives that asking for the business. Teach them the techniques of sales and how you go from rapport to identifying needs to a solution to asking for the business, and then you satisfy concerns along the way. I mean, that's it. That's the whole process. And if you're bathing it in treating people well, you're going to be successful because it's a great formula.
Well, and again, this would have been another great maybe point counterpoint, because in that regard, and again, people, Troy works at a real credit union. I'm broadcasting from my spare bedroom in my home, but I don't know that I would ever want to go to someone now and say we want to do sales training. I don't know that I ever want to go back to sort of the features and benefit based conversation. I honestly do believe just saying, hey, Mr. Hall, how are you doing this week? And you know, just being totally over the top, putting on the dog, the white glove treatment, the concierge treatment when you come into the branch or call us on the phone without a lot of features and benefits. To me, that's going to sell and move products just as well as any five or six action or key steps that you'll find on the back of one of those little 3x5 cards we used to pass out at sales training.
Well, you know, the thing about it is this, and this is the point that Sarah makes in the article. I mean, she says, cross-selling is service and an integral part of an overall performance strategy. If your minimum wage teller isn't listening because she wants to get back to texting her friends behind the counter, that opportunity is lost. Invest in these folks with pay and training. And that's exactly what it is. It's the, you know, you don't just sort of say, here's your window with your cash, now go do it. I mean, really, it requires an investment in people to make sure that they really understand what you want to do. I mean, we do an extensive orientation program here, of which I participate in. Every new employee who comes into the credit union has to sit through a two-hour branding session with me that integrates who they are as a person that they have learned about for the last 2 or 3 days, and how they are, in fact, the brand.
You're saying that new employees have to sit through 2 hours with you, and yet your retention rate is actually pretty good.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. And so what we don't take for granted is the fact that Mama taught them everything that they needed to know. We build on what Mama should have taught them or what they should have learned from Mama, and we actually expand it, because the success of these folks is important and paramount to our business. I do not want people not to be successful. So why in the world would we expect them to come in and just sort of casually go about it? And the new person needs this information more so than they need to know how to work the window. Because the reality is this, members will forgive the teller, forgive the member service rep, who may not know an information or process their transaction incorrectly if they treated that other person like a person. Because all of the objections I get are constantly about how a person was rude, if the person didn't make eye contact, it all goes back to those very basic things. I thought Sarah just hit the nail on the head, and what she talked about was the investment. I mean, really spend money and effort, and coaching from every level of the organization is important.
Well, listen, as a programming note, next week we're going to go back to a guest. It is May. If you remember, Troy, you gave us some great information with 90 seconds left to go on the show. You gave us some great information a couple weeks ago about all the different things it was that week, Eye Protection Awareness. Well, this is Military Appreciation Month, and next week we're going to have David Tullio on the air from Penn Air Federal Credit Union. He's going to talk about the unique challenges and opportunities and rewards of working for a credit union that caters almost exclusively to military servicemen and their families. And so we'll look forward to talking to him next Friday. Troy, we're going to have to leave. We're going to have to leave the show again with kind of a hanging question that maybe we can even ask David about, and that's this. The last question I wanted to ask in the boardroom today is, look, we've got a great little credit union here, $500 million or whatever. We've been approached by a $2 billion credit union that wants to bring us into their family of branches. And you said something a couple weeks ago about how some businesses are in business to be stagnant, and some businesses are in businesses to grow. If we're one of those businesses that say we want to keep growing our brand, do we have to ignore those kind of overtures, or do we have to at least consider them?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give a hint to our folks. Pay attention to the CU Times, May 11th edition, volume 22, number 18, and look on page 12.
All right. I know you're hitting it, everything wherever we go. Hey, listen, everybody, with 10 seconds to go, join us next week for a really interesting conversation about a credit union serving America's finest, our servicemen and women and families. Troy, you have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, thank you, Jason. See you.
Y'all take care.